Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. He made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
I'm becoming a big fan of Brian Baldinger because he's just doing this thing where he's like posting videos of showing how good Tua is.
It was Baldin. Fine.
And I'm enjoying watching them because it makes me feel good. I know, Billy. But there's just a lot of negative Nellies out there with Tua right now. It's a lot of negative Nellies.
They'll come around. Don't let them get you down.
That's right. Tua, you tell them, Bill.
Look at what Justin Herbert did versus the Patriots. He laid the old goose egg. That's what he did.
I mean, more on this Belichick guy. I mean, you bring in Cam Newton like you're a genius. How's Cam Newton looking? You want to know what I would look like throwing a football on a Sunday? Watch Cam Newton throw a football. I mean, Jesus.
There you go.
He had one where it had to have been tipped.
Looks like he's
where he like locked and loaded to go way downfield, and it went like 6 yards and was almost intercepted. And the only reason it wasn't intercepted is because the defender was like confused at how short it went and it bounced off his hand.
I'm imagining next week or in the coming weeks, Cam Newton's going to do that thing that shot putters do where they spin around before they throw, because that's what it looks like when he's throwing.
He looks like he's throwing a medicine football. Right? Like, have you ever held a medicine ball and tried to like chest pass it? He's throwing a medicine football. There's only one time in the entire game that I saw him overthrow somebody's when he overthrew, I think it was Jacoby Myers in the back of the end zone, and he way overthrew him. That's the first overthrow in like 15 weeks.
Tell you, Belichick is blessed to be wearing a mask this season because his faces must be so miserable on this sidelines, but we're not getting to see any of them because of these masks. Belichick.
All right, so we've been rolling on all that, Chris. So let's get started here. Let the audience see whether or not you're ready to take another crack at this to see if you could do any better in terms of your trash talk.
That was my Belichick stuff right there.
That's it. No. Now you got to summon it all so people can see how the character becomes.
I thought we were rolling. We were rolling on
we
that.
We were, but I mean.
Now there's too much pressure on it, Chris.
I mean, he's a joke. Bill Belichick is a joke. His name should be Bill Belajoke. That should be his name.
What do you mean he's a joke?
What is he doing without Brady? Like you got to do something without Brady. You got to do something.
It's the first season without Brady.
And they've been wrecked by COVID. The whole
COVID schmovid. The whole league's had COVID.
COVID schmovid is what you hit me with. COVID schmovid. Okay. Very good. Their team
the
was...
Ravens have had COVID too. Weren't the Dolphins one of the first teams that had COVID? We started COVID over here with the Dolphins.
He reminds me of you when you were young. He does. He does. That's how I would argue with Stugatz. He would lose a point and then it would just be COVID schmovid, and that would be the end of the segment on the radio. I couldn't do anything. I want you to imagine.
Well, it's tough to counter. I mean, think about it.
I want you to imagine, okay? I want you to imagine before Stugatz realized that there was fun to be had in just being the show that makes fun of sports radio. Back when he still wanted to be sports radio guy, giving straight opinions that make it all the way over the globe. COVID schmovid is what he would say on Second Argument. At some point along the path, I'd love to know. I've never asked you about this. I would love to know when it is that you totally figured out, no, the way to do it is just to keep annoying him, move away from him, don't try to argue with him, don't do COVID schmovid, just keep punching and dodging and be the court jester.
I fought with it for like 2 or 3 years, I remember, because I wanted my takes to be taken seriously, but then I realized I can't like pinpoint an exact moment or a show, but I remember driving home one day and saying to myself, it doesn't matter what comes out of my mouth. Dan's not going to take it seriously. So I just decided to sink into it. And it's worked out well for me, and it's worked out well for us.
For us, it's worked out well.
Yeah, because, and why would you take me seriously?
But that what's interesting about everything that ended up happening at ESPN for us, and I don't know how it is that I segued this quickly into the nostalgia stuff. I imagine this will start happening over these last, what do we got? We got three shows left. It's all we've got left on ESPN, right? Three of them?
Yeah, we have today, tomorrow, and Monday we come back from New Year's. But just to further elaborate on that, when we first started the show, we hired Mark Hochman in large part because you trusted him and he was one of your closest
friends at the time.
Yes. Uh-huh. And he really went a long way in talking to me and getting me to embrace this character. And so did you, by the way. But he got me to a really comfortable place where, hey, if you could kind of do it this way, because he knew you so well, that it will ultimately annoy Dan and it will make for funny radio. And then he started doing it as well.
And then everybody really started doing it. And then Greg Cody started doing it. And then he birthed a son who now does it. And then my father did it. And we all learned that the formula is just annoy Dan, have him run around and chase everybody. But what I'm saying is that, Chris, this is the thing, though. At your core, more than anyone here, I think, in terms of fandom, Chris is you, Stugatz. You still care about the Jets that way, and you still care about sports radio that way. I was talking to you the other day. You're still listening to people on the way home, trying to see how people are doing sports radio, who's trying to evolve the form. Like, you still care about nuts and bolts sports radio.
I do. I love talk radio. I love sports radio in particular, and I do still listen to sports radio on the way home. I have a long drive home, but B, I just like to see like what younger shows and younger people are doing, how much they're copying us, if they're copying us at all. And then I just enjoy radio. Like, I love sport. I love the combination of sports and radio are two things that I love. So I'm just kind of like a student of it, and it's something I'll never get tired of. If it's really good, it's hard to do and hard to make it really good. But when you find some shows that are really, really good, to me, it's cathartic almost. I enjoy it.
Well, the laughter, what we have been touched by over the years is how contagious you guys find the laughter, how sticky you find the laughter. And so the last few shows are going to be a little bit of nostalgia tours, I think, as we leave here, because none of us believe we ever got to do it. We can't, not me, for however seriously you think I take myself and journalism credentials, like, tell me I'm wrong, Stugatz, that none of us can believe that we got to do this. For how did this place allow us to do this inside it?
I couldn't believe, when we arrived at ESPN, I was stunned knowing how we got there on your name because of you and you having the relationships that you had there. And every day we got to spend there, every day they didn't get rid of us. I was stunned, to be quite honest.
It's crazy.
I never expected to spend. I'm telling you, when I set out on this journey of my career to try to make it in sports radio, I never thought for one second it would end up at ESPN. Not for one second.
Stugatz, what's funny is
I got 8 years out of it.
We exceeded our wildest expectations, and now we're excited. We're scared, of course, because of all the things Mike just told you. We don't know if we'll have the passwords to get in the building by the time, because we're a sloppy, disorganized crew. And the reason it was able to happen, really, the truth of it is we're unsupervised.
Yes.
They only find out about us when we get in trouble. Otherwise, they are in Bristol and we're in Miami, and we've never had a management team here. It's Mike Ryan and Billy talking to a layer, but none of that stuff gets to us. We're weeds growing in Miami. We've been weeds growing in Miami inside the machine. Has it been 8 years? 8 years at ESPN?
Mike, I feel like it's been close to 8 years at ESPN, right?
I guess it must be. No, wait. I mean,
a few years in the afternoon.
Questionable started in 2011. And so, and now we're headed into 2021. Yeah. That's been a decade.
I think we were on ESPN. Damn. I think we were on ESPN when LeBron had his game at Boston, right? So that first.
Well, that's why. That, you know what? That's why it happened. right there is why it happened. It was going to be Miami's about to become this vibrant city over the course of a decade because LeBron James is taking – this is going to be the super team for that decade. And Miami,
when he got on stage before they bounced the ball and said, stuff. Not six, yeah. not seven, no, not eight. It
that
felt
is
like
why,
a decade
yeah,
here.
For as much yeah, as I, for as much as I want to think that we did this, look at us. Well, you guys know some of these stories if you've been around for a long time. I was getting job offers in New York and Los Angeles. It was the only way. Wow, this is going to make me emotional if I talk about this too much. The only way. I was going to do Rich Eisen's job. They wanted me to host something with Warren Sapp. And
on NFL Network?
On Michael Irvin. Yeah, it was going to be something like that. I think it was back then. I don't want to say that it was going to be my job, but there was a show with Warren Sapp and Michael Irvin that what they wanted me to do. And if I had done it. If I had done it, it would have been like a hugely Miami show. And it was intriguing to me because I'm like, oh, my God, I can do something really fun in that space. But I'm like, I'm not leaving Miami. There's no circumstance I'm leaving Miami. And my agent, and back then, they became CAA. They hired Nick Kahn, the guy who came up. Like they, my agent's like, Dan, that will never happen. It will never be something that happens. These things only happen in New York and Los Angeles. Miami doesn't have the fertile ground, the media stuff to do this. And then there was a burst where people saw that Hispanics were under-indexed all over the media, including at ESPN. And so they paired us with Fusion, like a Latin company here, right, and television, because they were trying to get stronger Hispanically, because they made me America's leading Hispanic sports voice. But our show's not terribly Hispanic. My father is there, at least in part, to make sure that people know it's Hispanic because he's got the cartoon accent and everything. And it never became that. But that's why we were on Fusion Television. Remember? God, that was an unhappy time for us. And because of me, that was totally my fault. I was that uncomfortable with how television sort of stripped the intimacy out of what we do here. We totally underestimated. I'm surprised that Mike and Stugatz underestimated this because they knew the trade we were making.
Right.
But I didn't think they would underestimate
how uncomfortable you would be.
Well, how much we need to sort of be on top of each other. Even during the pandemic, the show has changed because we need to be on top of each other, slinging shit at each other, seeing each other's faces, seeing where the laughter is. Like you and television, knowing you're on television, did something to steal. You know this, Stugatz. You know this to be true. We're on television because of how badly you want to be on television and that I don't like television and find television robs this show of something.
I think that's a little disingenuous. Stugatz is out there emailing execs. The opportunities come to Stugatz.
Well, not only that, I mean, ESPN decided to put their radio network on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean,
like, no, Stugatz is a scoundrel, but I'm saying, artist, but he's not like.
Forgive me. I'm talking about Stugatz. The reason Around the Horn and SportsCenter and College Game Day, these are things that Stugatz have always wanted to, has dreamed about being on.
Yes, yeah, and I've had the opportunity to do them. Being on TV every day with the radio show, I was always torn on that because I knew how uncomfortable it made you. It doesn't make me uncomfortable, but I knew how uncomfortable that it made you, especially when we started in the afternoons in that HQ studio, because that's, for me, that's probably as uncomfortable as I've seen you for a prolonged period of time in the 20 years that we've been doing it. You just could not get comfortable
out
there.
I don't think you've ever been a better teammate than you were there. Well,
thank you.
Seriously.
This is adorable.
No, but I don't think Stugatz, I want people to know this part of it because, Chris, it's so fascinating as we leave this place. It's so fascinating to see who we've picked up and why we've picked them up, because a whole lot of people listening to this right now have been listening for just the last 5 years, that they were introduced to us even after Fusion, when we were doing all that crazy stuff. We thought that good television programming would be the shipping container playing Jenga. That is what we created.
It was.
As good TV programming and puppet shows that Billy did with socks. This is what we did. This is what we were doing with the platform of ESPN and Fusion Television. We were doing crap is what we were doing.
We would play taped interviews that we recorded before the show. And then Roy and I would sit in Stugatz and Dan's spot and like mouth, like as if we were talking during those interviews playing. Good times.
It was a great looking set though.
It was a great
look. Every time they show a flashback on ESPN Plus.
If Dan could have gotten comfortable out there. But I don't blame him. Like, it was hard. He was looking at his production staff through a television screen, which is super difficult for a show like ours.
I think, well, I don't want to dig into it, but television also became an avatar for several other things going on. It was an unsettling time.
Wait, but that often happens to you where you see us out in that studio and you say to yourself,
Remember when we had the therapist on and she just cut Dan to the bone? Yeah, like, it's not about television necessarily.
There was a lot of unhappiness in my life at that time. For as self-aware and smart as I think myself to be, I had a blind spot there about how unhappy I was making others because my dog had died and so had my relationship. And I was in my 40s and alone.
I mean to laugh.
And that's how it manifested itself. Like, that's what ended up happening there.
I'm happy we could talk about it so openly.
It hurts me right now to talk about it. We'll be able to talk about it more openly. Everything about what's going to happen here is going to be more open. My point was, in starting this, is to tell the audience that they're going to go on this ride with us. And it's going to be fun for you guys to see as this spaceship careens out of control, because we've always shown you like what's happening in negotiations when Cody is legitimately holding out for $50 a week, like using the leverage of the show to hold out for $50 a week. Or Stu Gatz, I still don't remember how it happened one time when you were in charge of negotiations and you ended up getting an offer for less money and that tied me to a non-compete that I didn't have before you got involved in negotiations.
So, that was unfortunate.
But what
was
what,
I negotiating with myself? Was I in charge?
What are the details? I don't remember. I don't remember. Why were you allowed to be in charge of that? Or was it because
that is exactly what happened.
That's what happened. I was the GM. It's not a joke. I remember calling him and being like, Sugats, I have a non-compete now. You just traded a bunch of things. You got some secret things
for less
money.
I could have given us whatever we wanted.
I didn't understand what happened. And so we're going to be such a jalopy in the sky, a spaceship, as we go and figure out what this next thing is going to look like. But we're super excited about what it can be. We didn't play. Mike, it felt so good to do that damn Rinaldi bit. We have not done anything like that. We've been so busy just sprinting on a treadmill throughout a pandemic.
Pandemic has not exactly been this creative space because of the manpower and the working situation right now. Right now, every day, just to get it on air is a bit of an undertaking. But, you know, let's just temper expectations a little bit. The sloppy jalopy, as you referred to it, kind of needs to have its shit buttoned up for the first time ever just for this transition.
So this is what I want to explain to the audience, though, because it would be perfectly us to be telling you, hey, we're going to do something January 5th and then just not be able to get on the air because whatever. Like, this, there's all sorts of stuff here with engineering that we don't know about, and there are a number of different things that basically we have been renting here, and now it's like, hey, this is your home now. This is not somebody else. You don't have a landlord anymore. You now have a studio that for some reason is on a bar on Miami Beach.
You own the Clevelander now?
I don't own the Clevelander now, but this space is something that we're going to be staying in when things get back to normal. And we don't know how to run this space because now all of a sudden we're, you know, landlords of this space. Did you see that couch out there, Stu Gatz? Like, honest to God, never mind. Right by the printer that hasn't worked for 4 months.
Yeah.
That couch is straight out of a Hialeah dumpster. Like, we are living in a college dorm room here. Like, honest to God, this has been ESPN.
The college dorm room was like $7 million.
No, ESPN built out a second space here that we're now going to occupy. They built out a second space here, and it's just filled with your guys' shit. Just sports memorabilia. It was supposed to be an epicenter of creative, fluid content, and instead what happens is a printer that doesn't work and a whole bunch of memorabilia because these guys couldn't make desks out there.
So on January 5th, we're going to be a show that now has a printer and a new couch.
Dan got so hung up on us not using the desk that I would go out there, take my laptop just to send an email to justify it.
Those computers, I don't think, were ever even connected. No. And then Jorge Ramos's show was there the whole time. There's nothing we could have done there.
Why aren't you guys using the desk? Okay, I'll go over there and send an email.
Well, Bruce figured it out. He
People
took naps
there. What do you want me to do?
Hold on. Hold on. Hold Hold on. What do we tell about Bruce?
Retired
Hold on. We got to tell people about Bruce. All right. Just to give people an understanding of what it's been like to be working at the top of the worldwide leader in sports, we're about to tell you about Bruce. So we've had an assortment of issues with security here, Disney security, in that one of the people in security stole something from us. I don't think I'm supposed to tell that story, but one of the three people that were supposed to be in charge of securing us, one of them stole stuff from us. Can you not already start
disparaging ESPN?
How is this a disparagement of ESPN?
I mean, we came to a solution. No one stole it. It can't be stolen if they returned it, Dan.
But what do you mean it's a disparagement of ESPN? I do not mean to disparage ESPN.
Was it their fault? Yeah, just, no one blames
them. It also seemed like a non sequitur. I don't know what Bruce has to do with a guy stealing shirts.
I'm trying to explain to the audience what it is that this has been and how it's worked over the last 10 years as we've all been spinning plates and trying to, you know, with a Hialeah couch and no printer. Bruce is somebody who, the Hialeah outfit that we are given to put this television show on air that produces this crappy couch that's going to be upgraded in a couple of weeks. I mean, those people who put on our show are straight out of Hialeah. This is gritty Miami Brown radio from the factories where my father worked when we were young.
I don't see the tie to Bruce right now because nothing you described is Bruce.
Okay, no, right.
Long way to get to Bruce.
Well, tell people about
Ham Honks Bruce. Okay. It's not really Hialeah.
This is those hands.
The story about Bruce is the following. Bruce was an employee given us by this outfit who most often on every day we were working was napping.
When he wasn't napping, he was taking my sandwich.
the point, Bruce is now retired. He took a big golden parachute during the pandemic.
That dude can sleep, man. Yeah, that dude can sleep. I'd walk by there, I'd be like tap dancing. I know. He'd be out. I know.
Bruce had like three polo shirts. And yet he must have been loaded privately because Sugats is always like seeing him at like weekend mixers at highfalutin areas.
And he's always playing golf. I mean, he's a bear of a man too. Big hands.
All right. I will ask all of you right now and I demand an answer from somebody. Somebody tell me what Bruce did. Somebody tell me.
I think he did stuff with lights. And he changed the input on that TV in there. Which, by the way, I don't know if you
Reaper.
Yeah, he was a Reaper. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed the DirecTV has stopped being paid for.
Oh, we lost the DirecTV.
Hasn't been a top priority, Dan. I'll get around to the DirecTV.
That's it. So we won't be able to see anything on television. The lights are already going out around
here. Those went out early last week. Not at all a top priority.
This is, well, wait a minute. Why? We're not gone until January 4th, though. Why are they already taking things away?
Didn't make the initial budget for this transition.
So they immediately
prioritized the printer. I wanted the printer over the TV.
So I complained about us not having any printer in here. We got a sleeping Bruce. I just complained about not wanting to be on television, and we literally now can't even watch television in here.
Don't forget the couch.
I mean, I'll get that ball rolling.
Air conditioning's next.
Yeah. Oh no!
No, the AC is on the top priority.
What have we done?
You know, in Bruce's defense, he was like apparently told to take a break because of like the hours that these guys would work. Cause they would come, like there was times where I'd walk by and he would like wake up and he would always get real like insecure. Like I'm supposed to take this break. I just feel like I don't want Bruce to be painted in a poor light.
He was sleeping.
He's taking a little nap, a little break ski in between shifts, Dan.
He was at work.
Right,
Dan. But sometimes in between segments, you go lay down on the floor.
What you do with your break is up to you. It's not up to us. I mean, that's what Bruce chose to do with his time off. He chose to sleep,
recharge the old batteries.
Nobody has thumbs that weigh more than Bruce. Am I right?
Nobody.
I feel like his thumbs.
Nobody.
Weigh
nobody. He admits. He admits.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this for a second because I do want to talk about this because there were a couple of things physically for some reason that I noticed last week. Weekend about people. One of them is the sheer surface area on the face of Trevor Lawrence. It is a wide ski slope of a face, a lot of surface area. And the other thing is guys in sports who have meaty, meaty hands. Because Bruce had bratwursts for fingers, and I just imagine, and tell me that it's the same for you guys, that Doug Peterson, there's just no way that guy's got dainty hands. That guy has to have big construction mitts. There's something about, I don't know if it's ectomorph, endomorph, there's something about the way he's physically built that his hands can't be porcelain. They can't be these small things. He'll slap you across the face with five bratwursts. And so why is this what you think of? It's the first thing you think of, Chris, when you think of our beloved Sleepy Bruce?
Oh, it's Ham Hocks for sure. I'm trying to think of night. This is a great game. Guys in sports who have Bruce hands. I would think maybe Romeo Cremel has got some big hands for sure.
I would say Kim Bocamper has to be right at the top of that list, right?
We'll get back to that in a second. Think for a moment, but I just the coach of the Houston Texans, Chris. How do you think he spells his last name?
Oh, is it Cremel? Cremel? Is it with N's or M's? N Cremel.
It's ends. Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. All right,
okay.
Dan.
No, jeez. That's okay. But that's,
I mean, even I laughed at that.
I know. When I said it, I was like, I try to say it so you don't know which letter I'm saying. I try to say like Romeo Cremel, just so you're not real sure.
Yeah, I've done that.
Brett Bielema.
Oh, for sure. Meaty, meaty. Like just a slab of hands, right? Is what it is. Brett, is this going to all be thick guys? Is this going to be like Mark Mangino? It's all going
to
be the...
No, Mangino doesn't do it. Like, your forearms have to extend a certain...
Mangino's more like tiny sausage links, right? Yeah. Those little pigs in a blanket.
Yeah, I don't think he's got ham hocks. It's different.
Okay, let's figure this out here. It's got to be Kim Bocamper. It's got to be a guy whose chest looks like a platelet. It's imagine something in the iceberg realm. It's just got to be someone thick in the
Ed Orgeron.
Yes, of course.
Oh yeah, I think Orgeron's probably the best.
Is it going to be all coaches? Yeah. Because Terrell Suggs also has meaty hands. No, Terrell Suggs, or is that not what we're doing? Like most athletes, all the defensive linemen are going to have meaty hands. Correct.
Is there a quarterback who would have meaty hands? Like, I think maybe Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that's a good
for
one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. For sure. Baldinger. Baldinger has, he's got gnarled fingers.
He's got mangled hands.
Booger McFarland, any defensive line, any big guy. Mike Golic. Mike Golic is going to have a meaty slab of hands.
Yes, yeah, mitts. Yep.
I was watching the Saints and Chiefs game last night. Patrick Mahomes, surprisingly meaty hands.
What?
He kind of went like this to his helmet one time where they didn't get like a penalty call. Surprisingly big mitts.
Huh. Guys, did you realize in that game yesterday, I'm sure plenty of people saw the absurd athleticism in it, but that DeAndre Hopkins has the hands, and Beckham's got hands like these, the hands to catch that football in that space with one hand and grip the football so tightly, have such control of it that even as a defensive back paws at it, he can't really do anything with the ball moving as you slide out of bounds. That's extraordinary. Like the athleticism in that is crazy. It's one of the best catches I've ever seen. And it's because that guy's hands make it look that easy. It's why he never has any drops. That guy's hands have to be. No,
it's those cheating gloves. Those gloves catch everything. It's so not fair. And they like disqualified that guy in Little Giants for cheating, for putting the glue on his hands. Those gloves are worse than those things. Those things are so ridiculous. You could hang off the side of a building with those gloves, just one finger at a time. It's insane with those. Have you ever seen those gloves? Have you seen them? Have you worn those gloves? It's ridiculous. The fact that anyone drops anything in the NFL, if you drop something in the NFL when you're wearing those gloves, you should be cut immediately and never return to the league.
Just get your hand on the ball. You're right. It's like Velcro. Yeah. Right.
Not even. Just close to it. It seems like they're magnets.
Billy, hold on. I'm sorry, Chris. Billy, should we not be talking more about this? Because Stickum was a controversy way back in the day. You're telling me, I have not heard many reports wondering about whether or not this cheating is cheating, because this sounds like cheating to me.
You should do a report as to why there's no reports. You don't want to go down that web, Dan. I'm telling you right now, you won't make it out of it.
The report,
reason you don't hear about those gloves.
Right. The report on why there's no reports, that's the more difficult report.
I've said too much as it is.
Very good. I'm surprised you're in such a good mood today, Stugatz, with what happened with your Jets.
Well, listen, it's a Monday that kind of feels like a Thursday. We're gonna,
the rare.
Yeah, the rare one. And I'm just, listen, Been a Jet fan for 40 years. What am I going to do? Like, my hope is the Jaguars are dumb enough to take Sam Darnold and the second pick. Yes, I have started to do this. Darnold and the second pick for the first pick. Or the Jets have said to themselves, you know what? If it's Fields, it's Fields. If it's Lawrence, it's Lawrence. But here's the real concerning thing. If they decided that, that means they were trying to win the Raider game.
It does seem to refute your idea that the Jets were absolutely trying to mask and camouflage that they were trying to lose that game on purpose. Does Sam Darnold have any worth right now? What you just said there makes no sense to me. If I'm somebody
who has desperate.
But you understand that somebody who's got the rights to Trevor Lawrence isn't going to say, well, give me that and Sam Darnold. Like, you're Sam Darnold's not even worth, he's not worth very much right now. Even if you think he's got some skill set that can be a reclamation project, Sam Darnold, they've ruined him.
Unless you're Jacksonville and you say to yourself, and I prefaced it by saying, hopefully Jacksonville is dumb enough to do something like that. But maybe they think Sam Darnold's good, and then they take that number one pick or that second pick, and they get a haul for it because someone wants Justin Fields that badly, you know? So I don't know. The only thing I could bank on right now, it's the only thing I have, is that Jacksonville is a worse-run organization than the Jets. And I'm not certain that they are.
No, but they're not.
They're probably not.
But isn't Tony Khan now running that place, Mike?
You know, he's not running the football operations for them. He really does like undrafted free agents, but they rely heavily on analytics and they have some recent success and they know that what they have right now isn't working. They made it to an AFC championship game more recently than Sugatz's New York Jets. So I think they have a decent plan. I don't see anyone trading out of that number one spot. There's a highest graded quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck.
But how does this go, Stugatz, for you? Like, how? So you've been.
I was devastated yesterday.
On. Okay, so you were devastated yesterday. So let's chronicle what's happened this season with Stugatz. For years, okay, for 20 damn years, we've been watching the same cruddy Jets Dolphins games in town. Talking about Jets Dolphins, and they haven't really been in the last 20 years. The Jets were relevant across a couple years when Stugatz was making the argument that his daughters should date one day Mark Sanchez. That was a time in our lives.
Yeah, I said that.
Where you said on the radio, that's how
I think what I said was when my children were old enough, if I walked into a bedroom and Mark Sanchez was there
was with even them, worse.
I wouldn't
it was
be
even,
that upset. It's the Jets quarterback. I mean, you could do worse.
So it was even worse than right. just dating
It was terrible. I regret it. Yeah,
back-to-back AFC title games, though, huh?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They were right there. Rex Ryan, they had it all.
A game away, Bill.
So for 20 years, we were talking about these stupid conversations. Think about this, Stugatz. We have had for 20 years a version of the conversation of who's got the best quarterback in the AFC East who's not Tom Brady. Is it Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Bills? Is it Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Jets? Or is it Ryan Fitzpatrick with the Dolphins? We have done that. That is the crap we've been watching in football for 20 years. And here the Dolphins are on the precipice of excitement in a way that have Billy and Chris fired up. And here the Jets are at the bottom again. And the Jets and Dolphins have been covering each other in shit for 20 years.
Yes.
And yesterday the Jets win. And for winning, they lose. Because you, the Jets fan who has endured the shame of this season, which has been brutal to not care about a football season, and to have the country laugh at
it's
your
team.
It's the
one thing you had.
To laugh at your team. You suffered yesterday. You're at the end of that game, you're rooting for your team to lose.
I was happy when they lost to the Raiders. I was rooting for them. And it was funny. I kept telling my wife, don't worry, they'll lose. Don't worry, they'll lose. Don't worry, they will figure out. And if they can't figure it out, they'll just lose.
Well, you were saying last week, you were saying, hey, NFL, you want to see how you prove that the Jets are tanking? Go ahead and try to figure out the scenario where you let them win a game and watch them lose it.
And I can't believe it was the Rams. So the Jets now have the Browns and they have the Patriots. The Jaguars have the Bears and they're at the Colts. I guess in theory, the Jaguars could win a home game against the Chicago Bears and the Jets could lose the remaining two games on their schedule. Dan, they've been so bad for so long outside of those couple of seasons. And then, you know, they had the 1 year up 10-0 on the road in Denver AFC championship game. a year I thought we were going to the Super Bowl, Testaverde and Keyshawn Johnson. The only thing I held out hope for was we would be so bad one year that we would get a quarterback that, regardless of how bad our organization is and how dysfunctional it is and how poorly it's run and how bad of owners the Johnsons are, because they are terrible owners, that despite all of that, there would be a player that would come along and change the fortunes of my franchise because he was so good and he was so talented. And I think Trevor Lawrence is that guy. And to lose that, to be within three games of having that guy, the one guy that you view can overcome all the crap that is the New York Jets, and be three games away from getting him and not getting him because you decided on a Sunday afternoon to beat the Rams so you could be 1-15 instead of 0-16. It was devastating. I'm sad. I am. I was sad yesterday.
Mike was congratulating you, though, saying, man, you don't want to be 0-16.
I did want to be 0-16 because 0-16 gets me the one guy that could fix my franchise.
I'm coming around a little bit on your side just because when the Browns went 0-16, they ended up getting Myles Garrett. The franchise-saving quarterback, the top-notch prospect, wasn't available.
But the guy that's going to get you, what it ended up getting you, and we've seen it happen in real time here, when Mike and Stugatz thought they had quarterbacks and they were celebrating. We got Sam Darnold and we got Baker Mayfield. And here we are a couple of years later, and Mike Ryan's team is legitimately, because of the player they got for being that bad, that's the reason they're playoff good. Yeah. Like, their defense isn't even any good. Their defense is only good when he's out there stripping the ball.
I don't blame you if the answer was no, because it was a really boring game. The Browns just did a business trip. But did you watch that game last night with
a business trip?
It was a business trip.
Great business.
Yeah. Did you guys watch what Myles Garrett was doing that game? It leapt off the TV how bad he is still suffering post-COVID. He is just hands on his hips after, you know, three rushing downs. He had a coughing fit in the locker room. He tweeted out F COVID. The guy has not been the same. I know he got a garbage time sack with 20 seconds left. That actually put me in the fantasy finals. Thank you very much, Myles Garrett, for that defensive sack. But he's not the same player. He is heavily winded the entire time, huffing and puffing. You can see it.
That's brutal, man.
It's the only time during this entire experiment that I have seen a player that was symptomatic who went on record saying he kicked my ass. And Myles Garrett is a freak. I mean, look at the way his body looks, and he is not the same guy.
How long ago? Now, I know Myles Garrett is playing, but Tony Boselli is a physical specimen who is in very, very good shape. How long ago did Boselli get it?
Boselli got it
at the
June.
Beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah. Dan, I spoke to him recently. He is still feeling, like, he walks up a staircase, he's out of breath. He is still feeling the effects of it.
Well, it's.
And you have no idea what this thing could do to you long term, even if you're a young man.
It is lungs, it is heart stuff. It's one of the reasons that all of this is really uncomfortable, that we are continuing without a vaccine to do sports. Now the vaccine has obviously arrived, but to do sports the way that we've been doing them is rather literally jeopardizing the lives of people. And it's not the lives now, it's the lives of what did we just do to Myles Garrett? Maybe I'm pretty sure Von Miller hasn't been the same player this season. Has he playing in altitude?
He had an Achilles.
He took the season off.
Okay.
Right.
That's right. Because I was wondering when he got it. I agree with you.
He hasn't been the same player.
One of the times that I was startled. He was one of the first guys to get it.
He did go on record saying that he has been really suffering with the symptoms, but he just hasn't been on the field because he had an unrelated injury.
And he has asthma too, though, doesn't he, Von Miller?
We shouldn't say on Von Miller. He hasn't played.
Regardless, the point is that it, just like the virus is unseen, so too is the damage.
This could be one of those things that we talk about 20 years from now. It's like asbestos. Like, what the hell were we doing? We had no idea what the lasting effects were, but we kept putting this out there. One thing I do know is Myles Garrett is still very good. Like, 40% of Myles Garrett is still incredibly good, but this guy was on pace for 20 sacks this year. Miles, he was going to be defensive player of the year.
Myles Garrett, what he's been as a player, guys, there are only a couple of them in the league. I can't believe your Jets beat the Rams. That was a game that mattered for the Rams. The Rams,
I know. The Rams, Dan, are on the, it's so confusing,
the,
all of it.
The Rams are on the cusp of good, and they're well coached, and they're disciplined, and they've got Aaron Donald. The most unblockable thing in the entire sport. Khalil Mack, I feel like your guy has passed Khalil Mack. And there were just two unblockable guys in the sport.
Myles Garrett was on his way to be defensive player of the year. And then COVID happened, and he missed two games.
Does
T.J. Watt's probably going to win it now because of like the month and a half that Myles Garrett just hasn't been himself, because in part because of this virus. I mean, he put it out on Twitter yesterday after reports came out that he had a coughing fit in the locker room. F COVID with an emoji of lungs.
How do you feel about how good your Browns are? You went straight to concern, and that was very nice of you. Decent to just, both while checking in with your fantasy team, the humanity of Myles Garrett was something that mattered to you yesterday.
Well, it affects my team, Dan. We have a bad defense, although we played Freddie Kitchens yesterday, so you wouldn't know it. We have a bad defense. It's a defense that it's predicated on. We've got two really good players, Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett, and a defensive line that can get after the quarterback. There have been injuries there or whatnot, but you just need to get the turnover because you're not stopping teams. Freddie Kitchens and Colt McCoy, they stop themselves, especially with that ridiculous special teams call. You need these guys to be at their absolute peak if you want any shot at having a game-changing turnover against the likes of, you know, Kansas City. Not that you're going to beat them because they've won 22 out of their last 23.
You beat Colt McCoy and Alfred Morris.
Business trip.
Stugatz,
it was a business-type score, too. Listen, I'm just bitter. I spent all night watching tape on Justin Fields.
He mentions Kansas City, though, and to me, because – it can be hard sometimes with all of these unseen things, right, to see who the good teams are. And look at what we've seen from Cleveland the last 2 years in terms of what we've misidentified in the studying of that team. Baker Mayfield appears to be a little bit better when healthy than we have thought, even as we were trying to
track him down. He's had an incredible month.
It's been a lot better.
He's been dynamite.
It's been so good.
But the top of the food chain is exasperating because – watching that Kansas City New Orleans games was a pleasure. It felt like basketball in the bubble, where you're like, man, these two things are shiny and sharp. Like,
really?
There is a lot of discipline.
Even Drew
here.
Brees?
Well, Drew Brees in the middle of it. It was like watching spaceships and a dinosaur amid spaceships is what that game felt like.
You knew you were watching two very good football.
You just knew it. And it's different than it's not all the football feels this way, but you're watching that one and you're like, oh my God, Tyreek Hill is what? Covered? How? The ball is there. It's a perfect throw. And no, that cornerback's just wiping it. He's staying with him, and he's wiping at his hands. And look, that Patrick Mahomes expected that to be a catch. No, that doesn't always get to be a catch. Sometimes a defender can stay with your offense.
That cornerback, and this is why these organizations are these organizations, that cornerback was taken. They wanted to take Patrick Mahomes in that draft. They didn't. They ended up taking Lattimore. And Lattimore is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
It was so fun watching that game, though, because you saw what you were seeing was so sophisticated. But people, good God almighty, you need a one-game sample to knock that team out because they were slowed yesterday. And it's still, look what they put on the point total. They're slowed. And the thing they do, Stugatz, better than anyone in the sport, is go ahead and give them the ball back with 5 minutes left in the game.
Yep.
Go ahead. See if they're not still holding the ball
either
at the
team.
End of the game, yes. Because you can't stop them from getting 10 yards in three tries.
But think about that for a second, because that's how Mike and I, that's how you want your organization to be run. And my organization has not been run like that my entire life. They still had Drew Brees. They had him playing at a very high level. The Saints wanted to draft Patrick Mahomes to eventually replace Drew Brees. They didn't, because the Chiefs traded up because they wanted Patrick Mahomes, and so the Saints ended up taking Lattimore, who's a Pro Bowl cornerback. That's how you want organizations to be run, the way the Chiefs are run, the way the Saints are run.
I mean, but take Mahomes, because good God.
Well, they traded up, though.
But good God, why wasn't every team, like, look at what it looks like. Why wouldn't every team in the sport be trading up? Trevor Lawrence can hope to one day be a fraction of as good as Patrick Mahomes. He was there for everybody. Where did Mahomes go? Which quarterback was he taking in that draft?
Oh, man, Trubisky went second overall in that draft. Deshaun Watson went over Mahomes. There's another one. That's
I mean, Watson, you could live with. Stugatz, right?
There was one throw. Okay, I don't know if you saw it. It was toward the end of the game, and it's why you can't stop this team. Tyreek Hill is being trailed, and Patrick Mahomes is throwing off the side of his body to a spot, and Tyreek Hill is catching it at full extension because it was thrown in the only place it could have been thrown in order for Tyreek Hill to catch it, and it looked like they'd planned the whole thing. He threw this flutter ball to Travis Kelce on a third down yesterday where it didn't even seem like he had the football that he had the football held right because it came out helicoptering and it flutters right into Kelce's arms.
So the Browns drafted Myles Garrett number one. Huh, turns out the franchise-saving quarterback was available in that draft. Trubisky went second overall. And then Mahomes actually went number 10. His stock was rising quite quickly. And then Lattimore and then Deshaun Watson. So Mahomes was actually drafted before Deshaun Watson.
Okay, yeah. So he was taken ahead of Watson but after Trubisky.
What a draft that was. McCaffrey.
Yeah, in retrospect.
Jamal Adams. Mm-hmm. Jets took a safety.
Don't you get jealous watching the Chiefs? Like for all, we're going to sit here and analyze when those guys were talking this offseason, when Hill and some other and Chris Jones on that team were saying 5 championships, 7 championships, 8 championships. Like maybe somebody knocks them. Look, health can always knock them out. Mahomes gets hurt, and it's going to be a different team. Health can always knock them out, but they're going to be great for 10 years. And maybe they get, maybe somebody beats them a game here and there. Maybe we'd be talking about them differently right now if Garoppolo had held a lead for 6 more minutes or made one throw in that game. But
the Niners are the type of team that the Niners of last year are exactly the type of team that can beat them. Like, we know it has to be done. You're not going to stop the offense. You need to stop them enough.
But your
times.
Only hope is football. Your only hope is what happened with Rams Jets yesterday. It's not. They're going to be better than every. They're going to be favored against every team they play. They're going to be better than every team they play. And your only hope is that football happens.
Yeah, Green Bay might.
The Saints showed you yesterday they can play with them.
If Drew Brees, you need to be able to score with them, and you need to be able to have a defense that can limit them. Maybe give you two stops.
Drew Brees was bad for the first 2.5 quarters.
No, but I'd like to think if they play again, it will be in the Super Bowl, and Brees will be healthier and better. I
think the Packers have a shot. The Packers corners are good. That'd be fun.
The Packers.
Rodgers, yeah, Mahomes.
That'd be real fun.
I mean, come on, Rodgers, Mahomes.
That'd be good.
What do you do?
What do you mean?
You cheat on Aaron?
I don't cheat on Aaron. Mm. I don't know how I'm going to get the phrasing right, though. I've been wanting to ask Aaron whether he thinks Mahomes is better than he is. I've been wanting to ask him that. What do you imagine the answer would be? Because he's so clever, and he's not going to give you – but he's also not going to sell himself short. So what is – what is if we talk to Aaron Rodgers in January and we ask him, is Patrick Mahomes better than you, trying to get our clip on ESPN because Aaron Rodgers has said a thing? What do you think the thing is that he would say there?
I think he says Patrick Mahomes is better than him. Tom Brady did the same thing to Aaron Rodgers whenever everyone considered Tom Brady GOAT.
Rodgers has 40 touchdowns and 4 interceptions.
Not this year. Mahomes hasn't been better. There hasn't been anybody better
than
Rodgers.
Slow down a minute.
There has not been anyone better than my beloved Aaron Rodgers this season. You guys got a little infatuation, a little tickle in your loins with Russell Wilson for a while there, and then he throws 3 interceptions in an end zone. You guys all fled. I haven't raved nearly enough. That's the only thing I'm rooting for in the NFL anymore. You guys root for the Browns. You root for the Jets. I root for Aaron Rodgers to be handsome.
40-4. That's handsome. Even if you're ugly, you're handsome with 40-4.
And he's been cheating on us all season with that McAfee and that A.J. Hawk. A.J. Hawk was smoking a cigar the last time. I'm like the ex-girlfriend looking in through the window, stalking.
He went younger.
A.J. Hawk is smoking a cigar. McAfee is giggling. Is that what I look like? Is what I look like? McAfee, schoolgirls, Aaron? Because as cool as we think McAfee is, Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback. McAfee's a punter. McAfee behaves like a puppy around Aaron Rodgers. Like you are. McAfee extends Aaron Rodgers so much respect.
You should not be throwing stones.
That's what I sound like around Aaron Rodgers.
Worse.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You try to like ask questions and sound extra smart doing it. Like, hey, Aaron, here's a thoughtful question for you. And I'm going to say it very articulate.
He's a punter. Yeah. But I also saw him do a backflip off the top of a steel cage 2 weeks ago.
I love to see you try that.
I'm going to. If
you would die. You would legitimately die.
If he asks
die.
Me to do it, I will. If he asks me to do it in order to us to get an interview on January 5th, I will do it.